Chicago, it's Bears Packers week again. This time in the wild card round, two bitter rivals clash Saturday night at Soldier Field. Keep it on the score as we get you ready for this epic playoff matchup. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, and Odyssey Sports Station.
The score!
The Bears! We'll go next to Chris Emma from 670 The Score. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris Emma.
I will fight Chris Emma. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Covering the Bears quite a bit, as he always does, and we're always happy to have him aboard. Chris Emma.
Yeah, we got you, Chris. Chris, you look like you're working that technology about like I did.
Lead Bears writer for 670thescore.com.
At the same point in time, they've got major depth concerns, so, I mean, I feel like I got the crowd noise here with these cicadas going. Getting tuned out here outside of Hallis Hall.
Chris Emma with Spiegel and Holmes.
I like it.
On 670 The Score.
Some people like Chris Emma, and we are those people. Chris Emma has been at Hallis Hall all day today, getting and wrangling information about the Bears and the Packers and bringing it to you right now in this Bears hit. Emma, thanks so much for joining us here on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Let's start with the injury report, Emma. What are the things that we need to know about the Bears injury report?
Boys, good to be with you. Yes, right to it. Roman Unze, limited. DJ Moore with a knee issue, limited. Ozzie Trapillo, limited. Kyler Gordon, also limited. So too were Jalen Jones. So too was Jalen Jones. CJ Gardner-Johnson, Joe Tryon-Chayinka, and Amen Ogbong-Bamigo, each with concussions, did not practice. I'll just come out and say it. Like, Roman Unze and Kyler Gordon are playing this game barring a setback. They've been in line for this all along. That has been the hope behind the scenes with the training staff. Roman Unze, who you're going to hear from later, straight up said, like, yes, this has been the goal. So it's all hands on deck. This is the postseason. Unless there's something that pops up in practice the next couple days, I would expect to see both of those guys out there.
Chris, do you sense any friction or disagreement in terms of the anticipation between Kyler Gordon and the Bears? Just wondering, like, is Kyler down to do whatever he needs to do? We know the Bears want him to.
Yeah, I've not been able to talk with him. The Bears' rule is not to have players speak to the media until they are activated from IR, but he was out there. I saw him in the locker room, seems to be in good spirits, and I get the sense, as Ben Johnson has kind of indicated, that the plan has been for him to be back out there and ready to go for the postseason. So, he's had setbacks. He's got to be very careful here, given his issues with leg injuries, but if he's able to go through this week of practice clear, ready to go, I can't see him not being out there on Saturday night.
Chris, you feel like the confidence, the intensity is where it needs to be for a week like this?
Yeah, it's a different feeling in this building, and we know where that starts. That starts with Ben Johnson, who ever since Sunday afternoon after that loss has had this look in his eye, and he's visibly frustrated by that performance and the loss to the Lions. Came back out there Monday on Zoom. You felt the shortness with him. He comes up to the podium on Tuesday, and oftentimes there's pleasantries, a little joke. He's like, let's get right to it. Like, he's not messing around this week, and these players aren't either. So from my perspective covering this team, often the first guy I look to in that locker room is Joe Tooney, because he's been around the block. He's won four Super Bowl championships. He's won the division title 9 out of his 10 years in this league.
Wow.
Just a remarkable career of success and winning. And he's got the experience to help this team through this. He's been around the block and has championship rings to show for it. So I talked to Joe Tooney, as did many of my colleagues, and the first question you're going to hear is, what traits do you see in the Bears that lead you to believe this is a team that can make a run?
Yeah, I think kind of just the overall selflessness of teams. You know, it doesn't matter who gets the yards or touchdowns or who has good stats or who doesn't. All that matters is that we want to win. It doesn't matter how we win and what it looks like. It's just offense, defense, special teams. You know, we're a whole unit going after them. And, you know, each game's different. But, you know, I think everyone just wants to play for each other. And I think that kind of theme is kind of been constant.
You've been part of some obviously championship teams that had been there before. Obviously, this is a new team that's here for the first time in a lot of ways. What do you see this group?
Yeah, I think everyone just, you know, this franchise is so historic and so awesome, and I think it's been a minute since the Bears have been in the playoffs, and I think everyone just wants to, do great and do as best they can, and there's just a lot of focus and intent this week, and like it's been for the past bunch of weeks, but I think there's a lot of excitement and focus.
It's pretty funny because, like, that's just what this guy does. Like, he shows up and he's like, oh, yeah, see, everybody's busting their ass and holding it to a very high standard and having fun and everything. Yeah, okay, this is, yeah, that's how you do football things. Okay, let's go.
It's pretty cool. Emma, having now been around him for a full season, what type of role do you think his presence has actually played? Because that offensive line got reconstructed, and for the most part, they've been really good.
Especially the middle three.
Yes.
Man.
I think every single player in that locker room looks to Joe Tooney as a leader and somebody they respect the heck out of because of his resume, because of the fact that he has four Super Bowl rings and this incredible career, Hall of Fame caliber career of winning and of playing at such a high level. And they see the way he works. They see his professionalism every step of the way. And it's just, you have to look to that guy as an example. And I find him just so fascinating because he was traded here. He did not have a choice to come to the Bears. For as decorated as he's been in his career, he was away from the Chiefs and a team with which he won three Super Bowl titles. And you kind of felt some discomfort at first as he shows up a couple days later and suddenly he's with the Bears and he's with this new team. And I think over the course of this time with Ben Johnson, with this young corner, especially with Caleb Williams, there's been such a clear comfort for Joe Tooney of this is a team where I can win. I can get another Super Bowl ring here in time. And he went from, I think, trying to figure out everything in this building to signing off and signing that extension and being a key leader for a team that's having a breakthrough season. So for Joe Tooney, it's picking up right where you left off.
Chris Emma with us here on Spiegel and Holmes. You mentioned Rome Odunze, the big-bodied ex-receiver, the number one draft pick. Sounds like he wants to play and expects to play.
I think if last Sunday or that game in San Francisco was a win it in type game where you absolutely had to have it and you hadn't clinched, that he might have been out there. But they've been obviously erring on the side of caution for a player who re-aggravated that injury on December 14th prior to kickoff against the Browns. And Caleb Williams, the day that Rome Odunze re-aggravated that injury, texted him and said, get yourself ready. We're going to be okay without you. Get ready for the playoffs. And that's been the goal for Rome Odunze, for the training staff as well. He's ready to go. He's been out there, albeit in a limited role. He's been building up towards getting out there on Saturday night. And here's the question for Rome. Has your focus been on returning for the postseason?
I mean, everything's been focused on that. You know, everything, honestly, all my energy, my focus, my, you know, attitude has been, you know, on that mark, you know, trying to just get back as soon as possible. That was, you know, kind of, like I said earlier, kind of changed at different weeks from time to time. But when I kind of got to an understanding with the training staff and everybody that this is kind of be my benchmark. I put all my energy and effort into that, so excited for this week.
And do you feel like you're where you need to be able to help your team the way you want to in a big playoff game?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I definitely provide, you know, an asset to this offense. You know, it's tough being out for 5 weeks and having to, you know, kind of be on the sidelines and have all that, you know, happen and go through that, you know, ups and downs of the season and not being able to contribute. So as long as I'm, you know, I have the opportunity to go out there and contribute, I'm going to give it my all, and I believe I can make a difference.
Do you have any trouble with stamina at this point?
With stamina?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not in my peak shape, I will admit, but I've been working hard. You know, I've been trying to get my conditioning up any way that I can possible, and I'm good to play a game, so I'm excited to go do that. And when that adrenaline's going and, you know, things are starting to fly and agreements on the opposing sideline, you know, stamina kind of goes to the wind.
Do you think you're going to play Sunday? Saturday, maybe?
Do I think I'm going to play? I don't know. It's up in the air right now.
Is that what you're tracking toward right now? Is that the plan, at least? Like, if everything goes well, you are planning?
I don't know. It's up in the air. I'm planning. But I've been planning on playing every week. So.
Man, that vibe of you guys knowing he's going to play, him not being allowed to say it, and everybody smiling and chuckling is quite a thing. What I heard in there is a dude who, though he may not get the snap counts requisite for a true number one, he may not get the targets or whatever, physically, he's ready. And like Emma said, Lawrence, he's been ready. So that means, you know, whatever patterns you want, fly, go, you know, like in terms of using that foot and cutting off it, whatever, like the governor is off.
It's so interesting to me that there are a bunch of players for the Bears that are in the space of, you're not going to play 99% of the snaps, but the snaps that you play, we need 100% of you.
Yep.
Now, that's also a little scary, right? Because you're hoping that a guy like Rome plays as much as possible. The good thing is
there have been a bunch of players on this team that have stepped up in his absence.
You're right, though, because like Rome is the guy you expect would be out there all the time. And then they mix and match with a lot of DJ and a lot of Luther.
And Jahdae Walker. And
yeah, but like less of that if Rome would be out there the whole time. Interesting, interesting spot and a different kind of thing than maybe where Kyler Gordon is physically.
Yep. And one of the guys that they're leaning on now is Colston Loveland. He's been terrific, Emma.
He really has. And like I got to speak with Declan Doyle earlier, who said like the beauty of this is there's still more meat on the bone. He's just getting started in terms of reaching his full potential. But he had 58 receptions. That passes Mike Ditka for third on the Bears rookie receiving list. He has 6 touchdowns this season, second among all your first-year players this season. And he's just been a reliable target. You see, anytime they need a big third down or need to move the chains, they're looking to Colston Loveland. And it's just a different role for him now. And part of that is just because of his connection with Caleb Williams. And Ben Johnson sees that. He builds so much of his game plan around this rookie tight end being active and being a key component for Caleb Williams. And the connection's clear. So I got to talk with Colston Loveland along with several of my colleagues. And the first question for him is, do you feel Caleb Williams' confidence is contagious throughout this building?
Yeah, very, very. I think that stands for everyone, too. You can tell when, you know, especially a guy like Caleb, like if he comes in with not a good attitude, that's going to affect the whole team. So and he's done a great job of not doing that and coming in confident and just uplifting others around him. So I think that's very valuable for sure.
What does it mean to you to earn the trust of both Caleb and the coaches to get the kind of role that you've had here as of late?
Yeah, that's very important. That's something that I take pride in and took pride in early. That was the biggest thing for me, just earn the trust. Build that relationship with the coaching staff and the team so I can be put in positions to make a play if I need.
Declan Doyle said there's still meat on the bone in terms of your potential. Do you see that too?
Most definitely, yeah. Just breaking the surface.
In what ways?
I think all around, man. I think only 21, so as long as I just continue to trust in God, keep putting the work in, I think things can definitely get better.
How much better of a player are you than when you walked in on day one? Pro-wise, a blank canvas.
Yeah, way better. And still, like I said, have a lot more to improve in all aspects of my game. But, yeah, from day one camp, I mean, just watching the film, even from prior games, it's like, wow, you know, just getting better each and every week, which is good.
When Ben walked in on Monday or Tuesday when you had your first team meeting, he said, you know, we're mentally preparing to play for 5 more weeks. How did he kind of readdress the team, refocus this group coming off of week 18 and heading into this crucial part?
Yeah, you just hit it on the head. I mean, he's like, you know, it's another season, so you guys better have more energy, better energy than we had last season. And like you said, he said, if you're not after the game, he said, if you're not prepared to play the next 5 weeks, if you're thinking about anything else, thinking about booking flight, vacations or anything, don't come in. So he made it very clear about what's at stake and what this team is looking for.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's good.
If you're thinking about a vacation or booking a flight, anything, you know, late January, the Galapagos are beautiful that time of year. Just don't bother coming in.
I mean, you have to say that, though, because Bears players haven't really...
Hey, man, not just Bears players.
Yeah.
Lawrence, you haven't booked your postseason trip yet.
I have not. There are a lot of players that over the last couple of years had Cancun circled.
Sure. Lawrence, Emma, you might not know this, but Lawrence owns a private island, and he has not booked his flight to his own private island yet.
I want an invite, man. Bring me on. Let's go.
The only islands I hang out on are Blue and Stony. That's the only islands that I hang out on, Emma. But, yeah, it, like watching this guy turn into the player that he's become has been so great. And you knew when they drafted him that there was this potential, right, Emma? But seeing it play out as quickly as him being a part of some huge moments for this offense has been outstanding.
Yeah, look, it's exactly what they mapped out for. Declan Doyle said, like, this is the player we scouted before the draft. This is exactly the guy the Bears hoped they were getting, and they've incorporated him right into this offense. And there were growing pains. It took a little bit of time, obviously, early on in the season, but it's full go now. This is an impactful player, and anytime they need that play, they're going for 84. Caleb Williams knows where to find him. I think part of the things that prohibited him early in the season from having this kind of production was that he wasn't the primary primary enough. The Bears are making him the primary read. They want to get him the football. So now you got Romo Dunze coming back for this offense. You've got DJ Moore out there. You've got some emerging players like Johnny Walker in there, Cole Kmet as well. You've got options in this passing game, and you can evolve this thing a little bit more. And from the Packers standpoint, like, you've got Odunze back. Are you targeting him as a primary? Are you worried about him? Are you worried about Colson Loveland? Are you worried about DJ Moore beating you over the top? Or you've got a beautiful thing going right now with this offense where you've got weapons, and this thing is evolving in a way that where it wasn't a couple months ago or even a month ago at this point. And that's part of the beauty of what Colson Loveland has brought, is it changes everything for this offense.
And then there's the defense. Boy, 1,313 yards over the last 3 weeks for your Chicago Bears. Dennis Allen have solutions today?
Not really. I wish I could say yes. Look, Ben Johnson said it a couple days ago when he addressed the game on Sunday, saying that, like, well, they held them to 19 points. And that is enough to win a game in theory, but you watch this game, you see a defense is just getting picked apart. It doesn't matter if it's man or zone. The other team's quarterback is getting after you. Brock Purdy, Jared Goff, Jordan Love can do the same thing on Saturday night. This is a defense that is figuring it out. And look, you see the way this is played out with the injuries and guys who are just not at this level and the complete lack of a pass rush at times. Dennis Allen's doing what he can. I think the frustration is within. I think Ben Johnson understands that, but what all Dennis Allen can do right now is give it his best, try to make the most out of what he has. So here's Dennis Allen with the question of, how are you trying to straighten this thing out heading into the postseason?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think, you know, just consistency in what we're doing. And getting off the field on third down, I think that's probably been, you know, probably the biggest, you know, issue that we've had. I mean, you know, part of it is we've played some really good teams the last couple of weeks, some really good offenses. You know, and yet last week we played a team that, you know, we held them 19 points. So, and ultimately that's what the goal is to limit the points and give yourself a chance to win.
You mentioned the bottom line on the Lions game being that you held them to 19 points. How do you weigh that with some of the long possessions they had, some of the inability to get off on third down?
Yeah, I mean, well, ultimately you look at points allowed. That's the number one thing. And look, it's not always as clean as we want it to be, not always as pretty as we want it to be. You know, but our job is to you know, give us an opportunity to win. And look, those things are all, like, there's a lot of things that go into those things. There's, you know, us, you know, being able to get off the field. I think the last couple of weeks we've kind of, you know, hit a deal where we haven't done a good job of getting off the field. You know, we hadn't maintained possession as much offensively as we have in a lot of games. So that's how some of that stuff works. And yet, you know, we had a chance to win both of those games. You know, comes down to the very end of the game, and you know, you have a chance to win. Sometimes you're going to win those, sometimes you're not. But I think the more often you put yourself in those positions to have an opportunity to win, the better your opportunities are.
So
Emma was correct. He had no answers.
He had no answers whatsoever. He did tell us third down, so I looked it up on the season. The Bears' defense in third down percentage, 22nd out of 32 teams. The last 3 weeks, 30th out of 32 teams. Just Arizona and Carolina, actually, are lower. Dallas is also down there in Miami.
They won the trade.
So 30th out of 32 teams the last 3 weeks in third down. And what did Matt Bowen tell us you got to do on most third downs in terms of coverage? Play a lot of man.
Man on third and two through third and six.
Yeah, third down and medium is a lot of man
coverage, and it's a place where they struggle. Emma, nuggets.
Tidbits. And nuggets.
Yeah, the average price for tickets on Saturday, $813, according to TickPick. $380 more than the second highest wildcard game, which is the Niners and Eagles out in Philly. The Bears will give out orange rally towels for Saturday night with good, better, best on there. And I don't know if you checked the forecast, boys, but it is looking messy. AccuWeather is calling for a drop in temperatures and accumulating snow as part of a system moving through. You might get some beer weather for Saturday night at Soldier Field.
Great stuff, Chris. What was that website where you got the ticket price again?
That would be a tick pick.
Okay. Thank you.
He got it right.
Yeah, no, he nailed it. It was my ears that was the problem.
Dump him. Dump him. Dump
no,
him.
No, don't. Bye, Emma.
Bye, Chris. See you guys. Thank you. Great work from Chris Emma up there at Alice Hall.
Outstanding.
Yeah, man.
Outstanding work from Chris Emma. Oh, feeling it, man. Feeling it.
You're feeling it?
I'm so excited about this weekend. Dude, for Janet.
Well, it's for all the Janets out there.
All of them.
We heard from a bunch of Janets earlier. I saved those texts. We can get to that. Also, Caleb Williams said what he needs to start fast in games. And I think it's relatable for all of us.
Is it Pib Extra?
No. Pib Extra's gone. But Mr. Pib Zero is here, baby.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right.
You liked yours, right?
I didn't try it yet.
What are you doing, man? I brought you one.
I know. I'm going to drink it. It's not in my window today.
You're too busy eating these mini chessmen from our friends at Pepperidge Farm.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Elite cookie.
Chessmen are elite cookies. They are. We'll talk about Caleb and fast starts next here on The Score.
Bears fan at home who are probably freaking out. How panicked should they be? They don't look good today, obviously.
Well, not great. They just haven't had any momentum plays. And all these games are kind of week to week. Obviously, the intensity will be ramped up next week, regardless of who they play. And they'll have to come out and play their best game of the year. But you would love to go in there with some momentum. I know our coach, Coach Belichick, over a long time used to say, it's not who you play. It's not where you play. It's how you play. And today, when you just look at that, you could say the Lions are on the road and it doesn't mean much. But they are playing very good football, and that's why you see the result of the score being 16-0. And that's why next week will be a totally different entity in and of itself. And with that playoff intensity, you would expect all these teams in the playoffs that have qualified to be at their very best.
That'd be nice. Let's hope so, Tom Brady. Hey, before Chicago takes on Green Bay, tune in Saturday from 4 to 6:45 p.m., for the pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will get you set for the wild card matchup.
Let's go.
Then immediately following the game, they'll have instant reaction on the Timber Tech decking and railing post-game show. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. And by the way, tonight the Bulls are in Detroit to take on the Pistons. Pregame coverage begins at 5:45. Tip-off at 6 on The Score and the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls.
A radio network.
Powered by Heli Forklifts. No Cade Cunningham for the Pistons tonight.
It won't matter.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Baby T said that he's a little worried about tonight's game.
Well, I only believe it when he says it in the first person. Baby T's a little worried about the game tonight.
He just put $100,000 on the Pistons tonight. Guys, crazy.
Have you seen the December 2029 book? Seen that? That's why
he's got all the projections, so he's spending accordingly. Good for him.
I like it.
Yeah, way to go.
It's very smart.
Caleb Williams says he knows how to start fast. He said this yesterday because the offense starting fast would be good. What do you need to do it, Caleb?
Seeing the ball caught, whether it's a deep pass, a short pass, you know, whatever the case may be, seeing the ball caught, and then, you know, just telling myself, you know, the small details, the footwork, you know, keeping my base up under me, and all these different things, you know, help me get off to a good start, and then. You know, allowing the guys to get into rhythm, allow myself to get into rhythm. And then, you know, from there, you know, we got a good shot to win the game.
I feel like that kid is maturing a lot this year, and it's been really cool and fun to hear. Getting his base under him and making sure his fundamentals and the mechanics are all in a good place. That's cool to hear. But seeing the ball caught.
It's like shoot or shoot a little bit.
You think so?
It's like, hey, I want to see a ball go into the basket.
You know how, like, when you're a long-distance shooter, sometimes you need that first layup to go in.
Yeah.
Just go ahead, drive. Oh, I got an easy one. Maybe that'll get him going from deep. That kind of thing. I've always found that those kind of things make sense. Like, there were some people that thought that was a shot at receivers, seeing the ball caught. Not at all.
No.
It's just he wants just to feel that sense of like, oh, that's right, we know how to do this.
We know how to do it, and I was on time, and I gave them a good ball.
Yeah.
I've seen them catch it, so I know that I'm good to go.
Right.
I don't see that as a shot at the receivers at all.
Not at all. So, instead of coming out and going deep on play one, you know, give him a couple layups. A
little check down.
Get the ball caught. But maybe if
a little rack.
Maybe if it's deep and you get that caught, that's really nice too. But all that stuff. Can you relate? Can you relate? I can relate, and I thought of something very specific. if I'm singing,
you have like a warm up routine.
Well, yeah, there's a warm up routine, but more so the first song in the set, I better know I can nail that thing. Like,
do you build the set with that in mind?
It's part of it. It's got to be strong. Something that I can nail, that the band can nail, that we're going to crush, that the crowd is going to enjoy. You don't put the most challenging tune in the set list first. You want to see the ball caught. You know what I mean? You want to see the magic happen between the band and the crowd and establish it. And then you build confidence together and you move on to the other stuff. So that's how I related to it.
Jay Cutler used to always say he never felt like he was in a game until he got hit.
Yeah, we don't hit each other at the band concerts.
Not anymore.
Not since the incident.
Not since the incident with Mark Grody.
Oh, man. It's my least favorite band member, Mark Grody.
Who'd you get? Was it Rob Hart that you got to be the newsman this time?
Rob Hart did it. Absolutely.
Rocking Rob Hart.
You start fast? Alex, what do you use to start fast? How do you know that you've seen the ball caught in your work day and you're going to be all right? What is there?
When one of you guys does the promo in the morning.
That's fair.
Can one of you do the promo? It's either you, Spiegs, you say yes, or Lawrence sends it through email. And once that email gets sent, I'm like, all right.
Then you know.
It is time to get ready for the show.
I always thought it was you going to the beach. That's when.
Yeah, definitely. The beach days. And we mean Burrito Beach, by the way.
Yeah.
Not the.
Oh, I was going to say. Because yesterday you said you were going to the doctor, with air quotes. thought maybe he was going to the beach for reals.
No, I said that to Alex down in the hallway, and one of the security guards was like, "What do you mean he's going to the beach?" I'm like, "Burrito Beach, man. Yeah. He loves the beach.
It's a very different thing." Tanny, you got anything when you know that you're going to be good? You start fast, but seeing the ball caught?
Get the coffee first thing, and then as I'm drinking my coffee in the morning, do the open. Because I know I got to want to be sweating out the open right before the show. So just get it, and then you know you can build out everything else after that.
Can I just tell you that is one of my favorite memories as a young producer at The Score, was watching Matt Spiegel sweat out the open.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, I remember Rock doing that. I remember Goff doing that. It's just like, that doesn't look like fun.
The stress of that is unreal.
I like that stress, though.
And Spiegs, and now we're talking about doing it with reel-to-reels and grease pins and carts. And sometimes the cart isn't long enough. It's a second short of the open that you were putting together. Now you gotta find a cart.
This open is 234, and I grabbed a 2.5-minute cart.
And now you got to go bulk a 3-minute cart and make sure that it's empty and ready to go.
But it's 206, and the open airs at 223. Go long on transition. Nobody say cotch.
No one says cotch.
Please, nobody say cotch.
That's a wrap.
I used to see you in frenzy, and I was like, is this what it's like?
Oh, dude, so nervous. You know that scene in Broadcast News where they're just finishing up the edited piece and they're like sprinting through the hallways and ducking under a ladder and somebody, like, all that stuff? Yeah, those real moments, you know. Excuse me, Terry Hemmert, I need to grab a CD. I have to use this right now.
I've got to use Ram Jam for this open that I'm putting together.
Where's Black Betty? It's on vinyl. No, I'm in trouble. I'm sorry, did you mean a different Ram Jam song?
No, it's the only one. It's the only one that people think about.
I figured that was the case.
Oh, man, we're going to be at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Circa is sending us out there on Friday. It's going to be lit, y'all. We are going to have a very, very good time. The show is already loaded up and ready to go. So all we have to do is get there.
Yeah, we can do that.
I think we are capable of doing that for sure.
Really look forward to seeing people out there and hanging out, though.
Me too. It's one of our favorite places. Like, as a station. And considering how long both of us have been here, I think it's okay for us to say that.
Yes.
It is one of our homes away from home. So Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village, going to be a blast on Friday. You should come out, take your lunch break a little later, and come and hang out with your boys. It'll be a good time. For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show us every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor starting tomorrow with a full boat show. It's Thursday. You know what that means. Coach is going to be in the building. We got a lot to do before this game kicks off, and we got you covered. Bulls basketball is coming up next here on The Score.
Spiro Dini saying good night from Chicago.